Train Shuffling is brought to you by Midgard Hobbies and Games, your friendly local game store located in Derry, New Hampshire. And most importantly, we're brought to you by our wonderful patrons. If you'd like to buy a share of Train Shuffling, visit us at patreon.com/trainshuffling.
Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Train Shuffling. This is Eric Heiden. I'm your host along this week with Len Kay. Hi, Len.
Hello, everyone.
Len's joining me. Johnny is hard at work editing our last episode, which is not released yet. So this is actually our first time ever recording something while we had something in the bay.
Isn't that episode the one where we already said what fun we had had at TotalCon? So what's this one?
Yes. God. Oh, this is a joke that people will understand because we'll release that one first. But now, speaking right now, no one gets it, but it's weird and timey because it was all about the future and the past.
Yeah.
And, wow. That one's come full circle.
Yeah, I hope Johnny edits out all the giggling we did.
Yeah, there's a lot of giggling. We got really goofy. Thank you for joining us yet again, Len.
No problem.
You're becoming a staple.
Always a pleasure.
So this is episode 31 of Train Shuffling, and we are going to be talking about our experiences at TotalCon. Really, our experience at TotalCon. Singular, because Johnny and I could only make it down for... We went down for a Saturday morning and stayed over at the hotel, and that hotel. And the next morning, didn't actually end up playing another train game. So Len came down, and we all played 1817. Len came down just to play this with us for the day.
I did.
And I had never played it on the table, and neither had Johnny. Len, you have at least once, right?
Yep, a couple times.
So we'll get into how that game went, but first a little bit of admin stuff. We're going to receive starting capital. We're going to thank our Robert Barons, Joe S., Joe L., Mason R., Eric S., and Philip C. Thank you guys so much for your above and beyond support of the podcast. It means a lot to us, and it helps us keep it going. And then this episode's random patron is Harley Tigner. Thank you, Harley, for your support. And yeah, that's all the starting capital stuff. We haven't had any new patrons since the last time we recorded. So this will be a short and sweet episode as far as getting to the meat. We don't have any housekeeping or corrections to make, seeing as we didn't even release the episode from last time yet. So we're a little ahead of the gun there. Ahead of the gun? That's not a saying. That's okay. We do have a listener question waiting to be answered. No one can answer a question they haven't heard yet. So turns out that's a problem. We're going to move along past 18XX news because, again, too little time has passed. And let's talk a little bit, lay tokens. Titles of interest, new buys, what we've been playing. Len, what has been the game or games on your mind, games you're waiting to come in the mail? What's going on?
Is this 18XX or general?
Let's think trains mostly.
Okay. Let's see. Nothing new lately, other than it occurred to me a week or so ago that I got to go look at Golden Spike Games because I think my number's coming up soon. So I have to figure out what I'm going to buy.
Right.
I had 18NY on my list, but then I piggybacked on yours. And yep. So, of course, as always happens to me, I bought a train game, 2 weeks before the new edition was announced.
Right, got announced, yeah.
So I'll be buying... I actually already sold... I bought the game, Scott announced V2 and started the play testing, and I said, oh boy, I better dump this game while I can get some money for it. And so I already sold it on eBay.
You're playing the stocks.
I'm playing the stocks. I buy high and sell low.
Well, but that's the thing, though. I'm sure somebody's very happy to get that copy.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially considering
yes.
with Scott, he announced it, but they're still in development of whatever tweaks they're making. I saw a post recently about the changes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This was from Dave Barry on 18GP. I'm getting confused. He posted the details of the tweaks they're making for the mass production. It's still going to be at least,
six months
a year.
Right. And that's, I've been probably reading the same things as that thread that Scott has on BGG is pretty active too. So,
yeah. So you get your order in.
Let
me know when you get that email. Okay.
Yeah, I will. I think the only thing I had on the list other than NY was Scan. So I got to think about what I'm going to buy.
Yeah. what's left there? I'm actually considering if you were to say, hey, it's popped up, what would I even buy? Because a lot of them, so there's GB. That's every time I scan down this list, I see GB. VA is one I've heard talked about a little bit. Oh, 32. I would have wanted 1832. That's what it is.
I haven't played GB, but I've watched it played a couple of times at Joe's, and I have to say that the track seems really weird. And considering there are so many games already on the British Isles, it's like I have no. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's not
do anything for me.
It's not pulling you in, really.
No, it's not pulling me in at all. Didn't one of you or Johnny, order 26?
He's got 26. Yeah,
because that's the other one I may buy instead of NY. Now is 26. I've only played that once, many years ago at Origins, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
I've heard. Again, just scanning the Golden Spike list, I've heard talk recently from Eric B about. It was Eric B talking about how Tom Lehman, name dropping here plenty, but was surprised that more people didn't like 18 Ardennes. And so Eric was kind of re-examining that game, having a look at it again.
Yeah,
so
were you there the night we played that at Joe's a few months ago?
No.
Yeah, it was no, all right. I played again.
Yeah, it didn't blow you away or anything.
Yeah. We've talked about this already, and I guess people are going to find out on the episode they haven't heard yet. I was pleasantly surprised by Nebraska. So, as a short game for a weeknight, I think I would happily play that again.
Yeah, one of the others that I've been not really looking at too hard, in the past I did look at it, was 1812 for a shorter, like a weeknight game. I don't know, I can't remember the details too much about what goes on in that game, but I know it's a shorter game. I think it's one that you start off with minors.
Hmm.
But I'm tugging at like 5 years in the past of what the details of a specific year at 18XX game is, like the cradle of Steam.
Well, it's funny. 12 is kind of an early number, right? Because we started with 29 and 30, and that was the B&O and Stevenson's Rocket, right? So I don't remember what was in the 18 teens.
Yeah, I think 1812, it's something over in Britain.
Mm.
I'm assuming it's like where they started laying like track for horse drawn stuff, like the railways started. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Like 17, the canal one.
I'm just
the numbers escaping me.
Totally speculating.
Yeah.
but most of the games that are set earlier, 1817 being an exception, of course, are having to do with like the rails themselves.
Mm.
And everything kind of started earlier in Britain than it did here. I think 22 is.
Oh, of course, 22. Right.
Legit. Yeah. Yeah. So those are new purchase options. Obviously, we've played 1817, but we've been in a couple games online together recently,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes. The 22 one we finished. We're in a couple more right now.
22. The last 22 play, I had a major implosion and made some bad moves, but it was just like a.
Yeah, well, it was also a couple of. It was like the other Eric was his first game, right? And then
it was his first game. Yeah, I think so.
And then a couple other people had some flubs, and I just put my head down and.
It was an ugly.
It was ugly.
Ugly game.
And ran away with it.
But it was also an ugly game as far as like the options. I just don't see him yet because I really haven't played a whole lot of base 22.
Yes.
But the like the combinations for what miners were coming out and stuff, it was like I was afraid to touch anything. Like all these things are just gonna implode because I won't be able to put anything together.
Yeah, it was really bad. The initial auction was really bad because I wound up taking, I think my third choice, I wound up taking the NBR and the three. But that wasn't until like the third round. And I was like, it goes back to my basic strategy in 22, which is if there's nothing you want in the first auction or two, just make sure no one gets
a good deal.
No one gets anything cheap, right? Because like I could have taken, I think the LYR was in the first round, but okay, I run the LYR like you what every other game it seems. So I didn't want to take the LYR, but I made sure no one else got it cheap. And if it had come to me, it came to me.
Right. You kicked our butts in that game by a significant margin. It was like it was profane numbers for an 18XX, I think, really. What was the end game score? Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. It was a train wreck.
You were 13,000 47 to Mason 9993.
Where was Mason?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he broke 10. Okay,
he was very close, and then I was 81-21, and then everyone's falling off from there. Oof, man, 64K or 6.4K, 2.9K, and 2.7K. So a spread of over $10,000 from first to last.
Well, some ugly things happened too, right? God. A couple of people stumbled over the L's rusting.
Yes. Oh, and I think
Miners without a train.
Did you? Well, you helped correct that. I think Eric maybe misclicked on the interface or something, and instead of converting his L, bought a second L.
He bought a second L. Yeah. That aside, but I think at least two people I think wound up having their L's rust.
Yeah.
But that's not
pretty. I had the nicety in that game of at least at the end of the game, I was running a pretty hot E-train. So I was like,
yeah,
all right,
yeah.
This feels good, even if it was really pretty bad. But this next, we just started another one right back up with is it the exact same group? It is.
Same group.
The same group, yeah. And it feels like it's going better for me. I just got a two-train for what I consider a song of 85. So.
Yes. Yes, you did. Yes, that was nice.
So anyway, we're dipping our toes. Johnny and I, Johnny's coming out of the internet game reclusion for giving a try of 1828 because that's being talked about right now in our Discord, I guess at least a little bit.
Yep, we have two games going on.
Yeah, so we started up a game and then realized that left somebody out, so we started another one. And I am holding them both up right now on day like two or three because I am trying to get through the rules before I take my first action. So can I have a couple games of those and inspiration from playing. Oh, you're not a part of this one. Yeah. So we played 1817 at the con and then I came back and we were talking about some strategy stuff in the Discord and I got excited and I wanted to start up another
game. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get into that. Yeah.
So
you guys wound up not playing Sunday morning, huh?
We played. So first off, oh, we got there. I got up crazy early. I got up at like 5 on Saturday to get everything in order here at the house. And then we headed down there, got checked in. No, we didn't get checked in because we couldn't yet.
Yeah, checked in later.
But we got the game set up and we were playing by, I don't know, 9:30 or something like that.
Yeah, 9:30. We did a quick rules refresh for for Johnny.
Yeah, so Johnny had played 1817, I want to say something like 2 years ago with one of our patrons, Avery. And I forget who the third, he played a three-player game, I think, online. And the third person, I remember going bankrupt and he kind of duked it out with the last person, which probably was Avery, and ended up winning that game. He recounts it as being a pretty tame, not too many levers were pulled too hard, at least on his part. So we played another three-player game, which is not the player count that I hear talked about the most, at least. How about you, Lynn? Do you hear specifics? I hear four-player a lot.
Similar, yeah. I don't think this might be only my second or third play at three players. Yeah, it's mostly four, some five.
Yeah, I'm getting most of my information from a single source, and that's our patron Kyle, who, if you've watched or subscribed to our YouTube channel, you probably have noticed that we have a couple of strategy walkthrough, what do we call them, tutorials with Kyle that we did a while ago with him, and kind of going through. Up through the first OR, like every time I have a question, being a new player, I'll just ask it and he kind of explains, like, why would I open at this value? What do I need to look out for here? So if you're intimidated by 1817 or don't really know how to go about, like there's a lot to think about in pretty much every step of the way in that game.
But every round.
Especially with the start, I think, when you're trying to get a sense of how do I approach this game? There's a lot of, it's very wide. You can make decisions anywhere along the spectrum as far as like the initial auction. How much do I bid? What is a good bid? And even the rule book suggests, it says like, you know, values for these privates are between 50 and 75% most of the time, you know?
Right.
And it goes out of its way to like, let you know, these are the parameters we're expecting the games to fall in most of the time. But getting a sense of, okay, well, which ones are worth on the higher end, or which, you know, will people let stuff go for 50%? And we're being colored by Kyle's meta for sure, or at least I am. But there's so much to go through. So if you're curious about 1817, but that's been a problem for you, go check those videos out if you can sit through there about it. I think 2 hours a pop. We did two of them. We've been talking about doing a third. It's tough because we, you know, we haven't booted up Tabletop Simulator for a while now that we're back playing on in person, but that might be a useful resource for people to go check out.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch those. I haven't watched your episodes with Kyle yet. I would like to hear them because I've paid probably a dozen times and I still a good deal of the time have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, he plays weekly, right? I'm pretty sure it's 1817 weekly and then maybe some other games as well. And he's playing online in plenty of async games. 1830, he's a big 1830s guy. And we talked to him actually after we played this game, and he's interested in coming on the show and doing a strategy episode of the podcast too. So I'm excited to do that in the future.
Yeah, that'll be good.
So we got started. It was, let's see, when did I post my, it doesn't tell you the timestamp when I posted these.
You posted after the first few ORs, and then we kind of
stopped. I think I only missed like one or maybe two, but the pictures were coming in slowly. So I took a picture after each OR and put it on our...
Okay, the last one you posted was 3.2.
Yeah. But so what can we say? So a three-player game.
What did Pittsburgh go for? I mean, Pittsburgh did go over, but everything else kind of wound up at 75 to 90% of face.
It was pretty tightly bound to those constraints. I don't remember specifically what Pittsburgh went for. I think it was maybe... Yeah, I think it went for 60 or 65.
60, yeah, that's what I was going to say. 60 or 65.
And it was Johnny.
Yes, Johnny got
it. So he got it. So we each started three companies, I believe.
Yeah, I was toying with, do I want to go with four low ones? But in the end, I think we all wound up doing three.
Yeah, I just realized that I have some more. I actually have more photos of this, and I probably should have pulled these up ahead of time, but there may be some good details in there.
Yeah, and so basically, while you look those up, so I wound up taking three companies in the West. You guys each had one in New York, and then Johnny had Pittsburgh, and I'm looking at the map from OR1. We had a company in Boston, a company in Baltimore, two Clevelands, and then I wound up starting Charleston and Cincinnati.
Yep. So yeah, we did all have three companies. I'm not going to go through who had what privates and everything like that besides Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah. You had a bunch of bridge stuff, right?
I had both bridges and big coal. Yep. So I got to Charleston for my first city and then Cincinnati for my second.
Right. And people who are not familiar with the game, I will do a little bit of explaining, although a lot of this conversation will probably be pretty dry. So it might be worthwhile going to learn the rules if you're interested and then come back and listen to it, or maybe even try a game online, even in hot seat mode. So first of all, we haven't talked about 1817 on the podcast at all. One of the big things that's different right away when you start this game is that the private auction, there's this pool of seed money that most privates actually, you sort of get paid to take, kind of. You will bid up to, rules as written, you'll bid up to the face value of the private and no higher. So if it's an $80 private, you might bid, I don't know, $75 for it or $60 for it. And then if you win that, you would get the difference. You'd get $20 if you bid 60 in seed money, sort of. You don't get the money, but the private is worth 80, and you can use the private later to start a company. So you get $80 plus whatever cash you contribute to then help pay for a presidency of a thing. So it's like, it's sort of like cash.
It's sort of, except it's not, right? Because you might start with, I forget how much we started with in three player, but 400 something. You might start with $420 of cash.
420, yeah.
And from what Eric just described, you'll finish the private auction maybe with $460 worth of bid money. But then the problem is, and we're not going to it here, right? But then when you start a company, you pay for the company with some cash and basically your coupon from the private, which means some of your companies may start with only $10 or $20 of cash in them, which is sometimes not a good thing in 17. And that's where you have to be careful.
Right. So the game is totally structured around loans. The companies that you start, most of them won't have enough cash to even buy a train in them at the time. And in this game, there are two share companies that they all start as two share companies, and then they can grow up to five share companies, and then those can grow up or merge to a 10 share company. And when they start as the two shares, they're sort of like miners. There's no more shares to buy, so you can't get any more money into them. And you'll have maybe $10, hopefully $10 in the companies, and you'll have to take loans out for $100 each. The two trains are worth $100, so you can buy one or two trains with one or two loans, but then you'll have to pay interest on those immediately. So you need some money to pay back those.
Need some money to pay back that interest. Right.
And if you can't pay interest, then you can take out more loans normally, but a two-share company, you know, if you've taken out two, you can no longer take out any more. You've hit your loan maximum, and that grows with, it's the number of shares in the company. So two-share company can only take out two loans. And if you can't then afford to pay your interest, your company gets liquidated.
Liquidated.
And the that portion of the game, liquidations, acquisitions, friendly sales, for me, when I played online, I understood sort of what was happening, but in person, it really it was just so much clearer. I should mention,
yeah,
first of all, anybody who does not know the rules of this game or is even kind of iffy on the rules to this game, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to Dan's explanation of the 1817's rules on the Bankruptcy Club's YouTube channel. And it is a fantastic rules video. It's really great. Can't speak highly enough about it. I watched it before we came down for the weekend, and it was invaluable. So thank you, Dan, for putting that together. It's really great.
I should watch that. And it'd be interesting to see when you have Kyle on, what he has to say about this. But what you just described, the whole liquidation, everything that happens in the M&A round, the liquidation, the acquisitions, and the friendly sales, that, like, the way you describe it, it took me so long to wrap my head around that. And like you said, it's weird. It's much clearer face to face. Like, okay, when this happens, this goes in this pile. You can't use this here. This money goes here. And you have to see like 5 or 10 liquidations happen before you kind of, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Now. And the same thing with acquisitions.
Right.
And then friendly sales.
Online. Online, when you're doing it, it's just like money's moving around. You're like, wait, I can bid. Okay. Okay. I guess I'll bid.
Yeah. I can bid more. Oh, okay.
Why? I don't have that much money.
What did I just do?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. I mentioned Kyle's video because he calls when you go into liquidation, that's the time where the president is on the hook for, you know, all of the paying off all the loans and everything. It's mostly that. It's paying off the loans.
Right.
And the.
And remembering, like, you know, when it's an acquisition or friendly sale. Oh, and there's shares in the treasury. Oh, those get sold, and you can use that towards the bid. And that is incredibly confusing the first couple of times you have to think through.
That's just for a friendly sale, though.
Not just for a friendly sale.
Not an acquisition. Right. So there are differences between all three of these, but in a liquidation sale, Dan refers to it as the failure pile. You take all the loans and the cash from the company, you set it off to the side, and you say, okay, well, this is the failure pile. We're going to deal with this later. Like the president,
that's a great way to think about it. Have to deal with this. I love that.
Yeah, and so we were calling it the failure pile the whole time, and I enjoy that. Yeah, that part of the game was amazing to finally wrap my head around a little bit, and start to try and tease out like, oh, I can actually like try and take advantages. Like I can use these things in the rules to my advantage. It was sort of like the first time that I played. The second time I played 89, or maybe it was like after I watched a playthrough of 89, and I started thinking about doing a PNP of it. Because at that point in time, there was no 18xx.games. There were a couple of online platforms which are still there, but going straight from never having played a game to jumping on board 18 is kind of insane. So
yeah,
power to you if you've done it, but I wasn't ready to go there. And it felt... I haven't felt that way about a game since the beginning of this journey for me, where I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot. There's so many more dimensions to this now, like that I understood that. So it was a big aha moment for me.
Yeah. In fact, the game we just played on Saturday, you know, I've played 17, maybe 12 or 15 times tops, mostly online, both on the old RR18XX implementation and now on .games. And this game we played back at TotalCon was the first time I was like, oh, wow. I could see the situation unfolding and said, oh, wow, I can take advantage of what Johnny's doing. And I can short him enough that I can hopefully run away from the short without before it implodes on me. And I did the calculation quickly in my head, and it actually worked. That was the first time I had ever pulled that off.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about what... So let's lead up to that, the big short, okay. As they...
The big short.
Yeah. So most of the game wasn't super notable, I guess, leading up to that, although I was having a blast trying to piece together. You know, I had Southern New York and Northern... I had both New Yorks, didn't I? Yeah, I had...
You did.
Both of the New Yorks, yep. And I had Boston. So I was just up there in the Northeast sort of trying to get some good runs out. Johnny was in Pittsburgh. You were down in the Southwest. You guys both had something in Cleveland. And did he have Baltimore? He did, right?
Yeah, he had Baltimore. I had one of the Clevelands and he had the other. Yep.
And Johnny didn't have, I don't believe he had a Cole.
He had one.
Did he have
I
one?
I think.
But he did have the Mountain Blasters, and he did kind of a funny thing in the beginning, which we ragged him about a little bit, yeah. Where he like...
If you look at the pictures, yes.
Yeah, if you... I think... Yeah, there's
yeah,
stuff on our Twitter account.
Yeah,
if you,
he built a big semicircle.
If you go see it. But he went east out of Pittsburgh and then sharp turn down, you know, southwest, and went... He plowed through 1, 2, 3 mountains to get down to Baltimore. Because
just to make $5 a tile.
Just to make $5 a tile, yeah. And it was like one of those instances where I think he lost sight of like the that wasn't worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the people in Western Maryland are saying, what's going on? What? Because there's basically a big circle around. Yeah,
we had all this flat land. Why did the mountain, why go through the mountains? So yeah, he did that kind of little thing. And I don't know, there wasn't a whole lot happening, but in the end, Johnny had a monster of a company in...
His Pittsburgh company, the PLE,
right? Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, it's funny the way you say that. Oh, there wasn't a lot going on. It was kind of quiet. I think Kyle made a comment either in the Discord channel or somewhere. It's like, dudes, why haven't you already broken fours? And it's funny because through those couple of ORs leading up to the big short, I'm sitting there saying, okay, he hasn't played a lot, but even I can see Johnny was playing too conservatively. He was being a good doobie. He was trying to pay off all his loans and not have any interest instead of doing the leveraging, which you have to do a lot of. And of course, it's always a balancing act, but you got to do a fair amount of leveraging and loan taking and risk taking and all this. And Johnny was, it was like he was running his house. He was trying to pay off his mortgage. And that led to the point, that led up to the conditions that made me do the big short.
Yeah. So at that point, Pittsburgh was up at 245. I remember that number very clearly.
Yeah, 245.
And the next closest company was down at like 135 or something like that, or 150.
In the 150 range.
It was you know, he was way ahead of the pack, and he was running like a 3, a 4, and a 4, or a 3, 3, 3.
Had we broken fives yet?
No, because all four of them were there waiting.
Oh, I bought them.
Right. So Len just...
Of course.
I mean, he just starts shorting. You know, Johnny walks away from the table to go to the bathroom because we're now at hour, I don't know, 8?
5. Oh, at that point...
7 or 8.
Well, there was a time snap. I think it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we were at...
Really? Okay. So it was maybe 6, somewhere in there. This ended
something
up being
like,
a 10-hour
like
experience for us.
Maybe longer than
which,
yeah. Right.
You know, I'm not going to speak for Johnny too much here, but I will say that he says that he enjoyed the first 7 hours of the game, but then after that, it was too much for him. It was too long, and he was, you know, done. So he walked away saying, I'm not interested in playing 18-17 again. I don't know if getting it to be a faster experience, which by all reports from people that I trust as a source say it can happen. 6 hours is reasonable. 7, fine. So I'm hoping that we can get it to there and then pull him back in and say, all right, now try again and it'll be faster and we'll see what you think. But he was a little sour on the experience afterwards, and that's fine. I can't blame him. I've played games with him, actually. This is TI4. He's a big fan of TI4, and I have a couple other friends that are as well. We play that game, and I've sat through games ranging from 8 to 12 hours of TI4, and... After like the third time I played it, I realized that I just can't do it to myself. I'm having no fun. So I've basically told him, yep, you go for it, man. Play that game, but I'm not going to participate. I'm sorry. I can't do it. So if that this game ends up being his TI4, I can't fault him for that, but I hope to change his mind. So where were we? Pittsburgh.
We were at Pittsburgh. So yeah, so we were whatever stock round that was, and we were looking, I think we were looking at the fives. I think all the fours were gone. And I had been thinking through that previous OR, like you said, this the PLE is just becoming a monster, and it was up to 245. It had like almost no loans. It had, yeah, three trains, I think. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I got to stop this because I see myself falling behind. And it's like, okay, this looks like the time to do this. And I did some quick math in my head and figured out that if I shorted him out completely or close to completely, and maybe a couple of shares, because you had a company up there too, Eric. You had, I think the BNA was at 180.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I shorted the BNA a couple
twice,
of shares
yeah.
too. And I said, if I do this, I will make enough money to start two new companies to be able to buy permanent trains for them and for my other companies, break through to the sixes with whatever else is happening on the table.
Russ Johnny's trains.
And Russ Johnny's trains and run away from the short and live. And so that's what I did. And so like you said, Johnny went to the bathroom and I'll let you continue.
Oh yeah, yeah. Len's like, you know, you just wait for this next stock round. Like, this is going to be great.
Yeah, you wait for the next stock round, Johnny. This is going to be interesting.
And I was like, okay. Yeah. And we get there and Len just starts, he just like, okay, I'm going to short your company. And Johnny's kind of like, you sure? Like
okay.
This thing?
You sure?
Because
yeah.
This company is running for, it was crazy. It was, you know, it was running for really a lot of money.
Like $50. It was 50 bucks a share, I think, the OR before that.
It was making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, all right. Eric, you should buy those shares that are appearing now. Because, okay, so brief pause for people who don't know the game. I imagine that there aren't too many people that have stuck this far along with us that haven't learned the rules to this game. But in 1817, you can short shares, you can short sell. And essentially what that means is you're in the real stock market, you're selling a futures share. You're basically buying a share and selling it and promising at some point to buy. You're selling
buy
before
back,
you buy,
right?
You sell it and then you'll say, I'll buy it back later. And you're hoping that the price is going to go down and you'll have made a profit. And in the real stock market, the danger of, like, you know, you invest in some stock and it tanks, the worst you can do is lose all your value that you've invested, right? You go from $100
right.
that I put in and it went to zero. With yeah. short selling, there's no
limit
to how much you can lose, right? Because if the share keeps going up,
it keeps going up.
I imagine that yeah. most people kind of know more about this, you know, because of recent events with GameStop and all that. But anyway, in this game, the way they model shorting is there are extra shares that are put off to the side, and for
pairs
of shares and their short share,
right?
And when a five share company comes into existence, you take five of those and set them in the bank pool, and they sort of sit there canceling each other out for a while. And then a 10 share, when it becomes a 10, you put the other five in, and you essentially say, well, I'm going to sell a share in that company. You take the two, you put one share in the bank pool and you take the short and you get the money for selling the shares. It's just like selling a share that you just up until that point didn't have. But now you have this
share
short.
That hopefully someday you're going to buy back is sitting in the bank pool waiting for you to buy it back.
Right.
But somebody else can buy it.
Right. Like, that's not actually a real thing in the stock market. The fact that...
Well, it's a real thing, except that the volumes are so large.
Yeah.
You know, you can't corner the short market like you can in 1817, right?
So there's that... That's,
so you never really feel that.
Right. But this, but if the share disappears and you're stuck holding this short but with no share to close it out against and negate it and get rid of it, then you have to
right.
have it. And every time the company pays out, if they pay out, then you have to pay... Instead of the share paying you, you pay the bank. So Johnny was like, hey, you should screw Len. I got stuck in a weird, I'm not going to say kingmaker, but it was a weird position to kind of decide how should I navigate this turn of events where Len is shorting all a bunch. And Johnny's saying, buy those shares and Len will be stuck holding the bag with all these shorts and no way to close them out later.
And another nuance of 17, one of the big disadvantages of shorting a share being on the wrong end, when you're shorting a share that's that high, you know, one of the things you can do is, and I'm surprised Johnny didn't say that first before he told you to do it, in the stock market, you can take an action for your company and redeem those shares out of the pool, which, to Eric's point, you know, sometimes leaves the short seller stuck with those shares because there is no share to buy back because the company bought it back into its treasury. But the problem with when the stock price is that high, you have to take out multiple loans to buy one share back.
Right.
And you can't get them all very often, which is kind of the position Johnny was in.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and then you pay the double hit, because then if the shares are in the market at the end of the stock round, your company goes down one box in the market for every share that's on the stock market for every share that's in the pool.
It's really elegant the way that the game
really is.
Models. It's really doing exactly what shorting is supposed to do, which is trying to take advantage of companies that you've identified as being overvalued. Like this,
overvalued.
This company is worth too much money right now. It is going to drop. It's going to have a problem if pressure is applied and you're applying pressure to it. And I mean, short selling is really designed to like make people money, but
yeah.
It's beautiful the way that it works out. It's really elegant. And so hats off to Craig Bartel and Tim Flowers, the co-designers of 1817, for coming up with the system. It's very impressive to me. So
there we were, and I continue every time it comes around to me, I'm shorting another share. And then at one point, so Johnny's telling Eric to buy the shares in the pool.
So I start to, by the way.
And screw me, so you start to.
I bought three of them, and I had a ton of money. I had like $800 because of a friendly sale. Yeah, I had a company that was in trouble, and I offered it up for friendly sale, and YouTube bid it up into the sky. Because it had some really good tokens.
It had a train too, didn't it?
I think it had a train and some money. Yeah, it was like
it had a four train.
Yeah, it was a great company at the time, but it was going to be a problem, and I offered it up for short sale, and the company went away, but I got a bunch of cash out of it, so I was sitting on all this money. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll start buying these up because he is going to pay. And where were you going to go with that?
No, that was it. That was it. And then, after you bought those three, and I continue to short the PLE. At one point, you looked and said, "Oh, what are you?" You were trying to figure out what I was doing, right?
Yeah, I didn't.
And then at some point, the light bulb went on in your head, and you said, "Oh, me too."
Well, you started the first company at 200, right? So you started a five share.
Sorry, a 10 share.
A 10 share. Okay, yeah, right. A 10 share at $200. So, you know, presidency was 400 and you needed 800 to do that, right? Because you have to, is that right?
I needed, no, you win the auction at 400, you get the president share at 200, and then you keep buying the other shares. Right.
So you did that once, and then I, at some point in the mix, and I don't remember exactly what the turn of events was, but I waited a little too long. I think I sold them because I was holding them, and then Johnny took two loans to redeem a share, and I was like, "Oh no!" Like, this is that made me nervous,
right? Which now dropped the price to two, whatever. Right. And then you dump the three you just bought,
Right. So every time you take a loan in the game, your share value moves to the left, and every time you pay one off, it goes to the right. That's what it's saying. So he took two loans in the stock round to redeem a share. His stock value starts going down. I'm kind of worried about it. And at the end of the round, you know, when you sell a share also in this game in the stock round, nothing moves immediately. But at the end of the round, you count up all the shares and all the shorts for a company and, you know, subtract the shorts away. And if there's anything left over, then for however many shares are in the pool, you drop back one to the left.
The shorts don't cancel it. I mean, if they're, because it wound up happening, right? I think at the end of that stock round, there were 9 PLE shares in the pool. And Johnny let them sit there, which,
shorts cancel it.
He could.
When the shorts get introduced into the game, they come along with the pair. That's why I'm saying you count them, right? So if it's like the five shares and shorts,
so you're counting those. I'm not counting the pairs. Right?
Maybe they don't actually exist in the bank pool, but that's how I thought of it. So,
right. So there, at the end of the stock round, there were like 8 or 9 PLE shares uncanceled in the pool. So all of a sudden, and the PLE is down to like $100.
Right. It dropped from 245 down to 100, which was a big hit. And, you know, it's like, this is, it stinks to be the target of one of these short attacks because, you know, Johnny was like, I made a good thing. Look at my nice company. And then it just got destroyed.
He made it too, He made it too good.
Yeah.
Yes. He paid out too many profits and didn't keep enough liabilities on the books.
Right. So I picked up what Len was putting down and I was like, oh no. I started looking at my companies and none of them had a permanent train, and a bunch of them only had, one of them only had threes. And so I said, oh no, I need to get some permanent trains too. So I better do what Len's doing. And so I started a company at 200, but I was the third now company because he had put two up at 200. And then we finally got done with everything, started the ORs, and then Len takes sufficient loans, which was only like two or three, I think three loans.
Right, but because these are 10 share companies, so I could have taken 10. But right, and that was the key thing, is you realized that a little too late. And as you just said, you started the third company, not the second, before I started my second. So that allowed me, as the first two companies that ran in the next OR, I took a few loans for each one of them, and the first one bought the first two fives, and the second one bought the second two fives, and now Eric's company is looking at sixes.
Right, and so the fives are worth, they're $600, the sixes are $750.
$750.
And the critical thing there is that to buy two sixes, you have to take out not three loans.
A lot more. Right.
it is.
So it's at least three without even the interest, right? Because you start a company at two, you buy six shares, you have 1,200 in cash,
yep.
You got to buy your three tokens, so now you got 1,050, and two fives for 1,200 is not a big, about it, not a big leap, but then two sixes for 1,500 is.
Right. So it's 1,050, 1,500.
That's 450 in just the principal, but then the loan interest was like at 30 or 35, right?
Right, so 450 you need to take out in loans, right, and then cover the interest on those loans. So it's probably six or maybe seven, seven loans, which is way worse than three. So I waited a little bit too long. And at that point, sort of the game was over. We played through to the sevens, but Len did force the game. And it's really because I started the third one. And maybe this was my mistake, right? I had trains that I was worried about the threes. Johnny was in a bad situation because of the threes, but I started that third company because I got nervous, which, you know, the fives going, what Len didn't actually rust anything. But when I then bought the six.
Then bought the six.
Triggered both a problem for me and and I put Johnny in, and, you know, I basically pushed him over the edge and killed his position. And so that was a weird spot for me where I was like, I don't know what I should do, how this is going to play out. I haven't seen this happen before.
And
so,
and then I'm looking at the pictures online. It's like, yeah. And then I forget the details. What happened with the Susquehanna?
Oh, I ended up with 10 loans. So I started
to buy that six.
Yeah. I bought a six. I offered up one of my companies. Oh, it went into liquidation. I'm trying to remember. I think I offered one of them up, the Boston, to the friendly sale. That was the one that went for a bunch of money before the round. And then I forget what the...
Right, because I got that token.
I forget what the company that I like started fresh was, but somehow the...
Oh, the Providence and Worcester.
Providence
and Worcester. You had the Susquehanna and the Providence and Worcester. And I think you didn't start the Susquehanna. You had that.
I had it, yes.
You did. You looked at it and said... I'm looking at the picture. It's like, oh, I can just make it to buy a six for it, but I'll have 10 loans.
Right.
And then...
So I got the permanent train, but then the... And it had great tokens and routes. It was amazing, but its run didn't make enough to stay above water with the loans.
$400 in loan interest. Yeah.
Yeah. It was brutal. And so that went into liquidation, you know, and at that point, we basically called the game. Johnny... Yeah. We were in liquidation. Everyone's fighting over this, what should have been a cheap six train. And Johnny at that point said, okay, I'm going to become incoherent and bid it up into the sky and put himself into a terrible situation by having to take a lot of loans to pay for this loan-ridden company. Or the loan, you know, he didn't get the loans. He just gets the token and the six. It's the ideal situation with the liquidation, right?
Right.
The president is on the hook to pay off the 10 loans, which, you know, bankrupted me. I'm pretty sure it bankrupted me. I don't think we even did the math at that point. We just said, okay, the game's over.
I think that's when we called, you know, it. Yeah.
Len wins 10 hours in. It was an epic experience for me. It was pretty great. So that was total con, really. Len booked it after that. That was probably around 9 o'clock, I think.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, yeah.
So, no, it couldn't have been 9, because it was, yeah, it was like 9:30 when we got set up, I guess maybe 10.
Yeah, I mean, with the breaks we took for food and stuff, yeah, it was like 10 hours playtime.
Yeah. So,
because then we cleaned up.
Pretty epic, know? And I look forward to trying it again soon. I'd like to try again and just do the thing where, okay, we only have 5 hours, but let's play as much 17 in 5 hours as we can. That would be a worthwhile experience for me.
And I think, like we said at the time too, I mean, it was, for what we did, it was 10 and a half hours roughly, but we were kibitzing a lot and talking about strategy, like, oh, why did you do this? And well, you know, if you, you know, so that sort of thing. But so we could have probably, if we just had our head down and playing, it might have been 9 hours.
I think it's the thing where, so when I started playing 46, and hearing, I heard of the, it's so weird to me that we ended up playing together, and like, you know, now I'm, but I heard about this group that played 1846 in 2 hours. It was like, who are these people? Like, what? How is that even possible? Because we were playing in 5 hours, you know, and it turns out it was you guys.
Yeah.
And that you lived right down, you know, like 40 minutes away. So, but I think a big thing about that, it's not just familiarity with the rules, and that is a big thing, and understanding the strategy, but really like knowing how to tickle the financial systems to make the engine go is a huge part of like making that game go fast. There's a lot of wiggle room in 46 for, well, if new players start the game, they buy a few shares and don't issue any shares. Right. And that game is going to stall so hard.
Right.
You know, it's going to take forever if you don't start the engine running and issue a couple shares at least, you know, or all the shares. Like, that's, I think, a good a good way to get new players moving a little faster on 46 is, like, everybody has to take either, they have to issue all of their shares or all but one. Go. Mm. You know, and that would make a lot of people's new, you know, first experiences faster. But you have to get to the point where you can recognize that, oh, this is important. I should do this to move the game along. And yeah. And I wonder what the thing is in 17 that is that I have yet to identify. Because there's something that makes this game playable in 6 hours, and I have no idea what it is. It's like, it must be merging at the right time, or, you know, using a company and offering it for friendly sale in the right way, or something like that, or taking loans, but managing to stay ahead of them somehow and not killing yourself. That's the part. It's like, how do you take, it must be the loans, right? That feels
right. I'm sitting here trying to think myself, because I'm thinking like, yeah, there's got to be an answer to this question. Well, it's the same thing if you make the analogy to 46, right? 46, I can not issue any shares and buy 1-2 train, or I can issue shares and do the thing you normally do. Well, 17 is the same way, right? I cannot take out a loan, start a company with $100 in it and buy 1-2 train, or yeah, every OR, you got to maximize your leverage and take out as many loans as you can afford that you will still be able to, you know, half pay and pay the interest.
Yeah.
And not worry about paying them back, which is how Johnny got into the situation he did, because he was actually in like OR2 and OR3. He was trying to pay off loans.
Yeah, right, right. And I don't know if that is, you shouldn't do that, I guess. You know, like, I don't know. I don't have that experience.
Let's see what Kyle says.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll schedule that with Kyle soon and get a recording. And I'm going to put together a list of all of my most nitty, like, low level questions to ask. And it's, you know, it's the kind of stuff where we talked with Eric on the podcast that we did with him in 46, Avery, you know, Bruce Beard with 1861 and 67, like, kind of every critical point of the game, like, what are the things you're thinking about for making right. these decisions? And obviously with this game in particular, it's really difficult to answer those questions because the context is so important, but like trying to pull any kind of ground truth out of like, this is always a bad decision, or here is the one case where this isn't a bad decision, you know, or whatever this is in the example.
Yeah, I can think of one. If you don't know what to do, half pay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, if you, what is that one?
Well, I think
like
so,
half
right?
paying is common in this game because you're fighting your interest a lot and you're trying to
right,
stay ahead of it.
But then it But even if you don't have a lot of interest, if you full pay, another rule nuance, right? If you full pay, you can double jump. And double jumping gets you into the situation where your company is overvalued and is a short target.
Yeah.
So you half pay many times just so you only go once on the stock market. And even sometimes you take out a loan when you don't even need it just to keep your stock from going too high.
Yeah, see, that's the I think I might have had one or two moments while we played that I realized that I had some sort of seeing through the fog moment and went, oh, I can just take a loan. Even, it was stupid. It's the kind of thing where 1830 people talk about where they withhold so they can affect operating order. And first time I heard someone say that, I was like, wow.
That too.
You know, this game, you take a loan to affect your operating order if you want to.
Right.
Like, oh, I can do that. And it hurts, you know, taking a loan hurts. But if you can pay it back right afterwards or you get the good train that you're after because someone buys their four because they just started a company, like, oh, there's so many layers.
Right.
There's this is such a rich cake of a game. Did I lose you?
No.
Okay. I just stunned you with that incredible analogy.
I was just contemplating the cake.
Yeah. This cake is delicious, is really the end message that everyone needs to know. And it's not a lie. Len, have you played Portal?
The cake is not a lie. Very, very, I like that. Yeah, very good. Very, very good segue. Yeah, or tie in. The cake is not a lie.
You have played Portal?
Oh, I played it to the end.
Oh, good.
Portal 2, also Portal 2.
I have not played Portal 2. I keep meaning to do that. Well, so I guess Total Con wrap up, any other, so you left after that. We wanted to get a game of 1854 in, and that's partially probably what soured Johnny a little bit on it is that he was expecting.
We
had planned to split the day. 1817 for 7 hours leaves us enough time to play 1854, which he's been wanting to play for a while. And this game went obviously way too long. And so we were like, oh, okay, so we'll do 54 either tomorrow or the next time. And
well, and then Eric Brogius was busy with the Crayon Rails finals. I'm not sure how that interacted too. So
yeah, but, we were looking for another player.
We should get 54 to the table soon and give it a try.
Yeah, we talked about, I think we're going to try and do it at one of Joe's nights. So we didn't end up playing any more 18XX. With the next morning, Joe Roshanan wanted to teach us Clash of Cultures. Johnny was interested in that. And so I said, well, you played my game for 10 hours yesterday. Let's play this. And I had fun with that. It's not my usual cup of tea, but Clash of Cultures was cool. We didn't quite finish before we ended up wrapping it up because everybody had to get home. But that was fun. Total Con was fun. There wasn't a whole lot of folks there, honestly. It was like not as packed as last time, but I'm not surprised. Last time being 2 years pre-pandemic, you know.
I thought it was a good sized crowd. It was healthy that the con was doing well, but I was also pleased that it wasn't packed wall to wall because,
yeah. And my ears were only mildly sore by the end of the day for wearing my mask for 10 hours playing a game.
Yeah.
And that wraps up Total Con. Yeah, check it out. Next year should be the same time. You know, want to come get a train game in with some of the folks we talk about. We'll be there, hopefully, again.
Yep.
That wraps up our main topic. What has been grabbing you outside of train games lately? What else is going on, Len?
My ongoing thread, Advanced Squad Leader.
Advanced Squad Leader. You're in deep with that, huh?
I am full in deep. I jumped in the deep end of the pool, as my friends say. As a matter of fact, there's an event on the yearly convention circuit coming up at the end of March called the Nor'easter, run by the New England ASL group, and I'll be in the tournament.
Sweet.
It's my first ASL tournament. I'm very excited. Yeah.
I imagine that's a pretty deep pool of players, like the people who play it, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I wish I had started forever ago, because it's as rich a cake as 1817.
I bet it is. That's why I'm weary of it and don't want to get too close to it.
But that's been my non-train gaming time.
And you mentioned that you picked up the guitar again, right?
Oh, yeah, the guitar thing, yes. Is Eric and Johnny and I and several others on the Discord, we have a guitar channel, and Eric was kind enough to sell me his what's the model again? I forget what model it's
PRS Santana.
PRS Santana, that's right. I couldn't remember the PRS part. My first electric guitar, and we've been poking at lessons on True Fire, and it's been kind of sitting in the closet since I bought it from Eric around Christmas, but pulled it out recently, finally, in the last couple of weeks, and trying to get my calluses built back up and just doing some basic rock stuff. I know you guys are miles ahead of me at the moment, but it's a lot of fun.
Miles. Yeah.
Miles. Oh, okay. Yards.
Yards. Let's go with the modest yards. Yeah. Is that it? Anything else going on? Hobby stuff? Fun?
No, that's about it. Yeah. How about you?
Well, so the members of the Discord who don't have it on mute will have noticed an extraordinary amount of activity in the video games channel. And I just clicked on it and I didn't realize that the little info line for the channel, the description for the channel says, hope you like Soulsborne games, because Dark Souls is a big, you know, thing with Johnny and I and a number of people in the Discord. And Elden Ring just came out, which is the latest and greatest edition of, well, you know, that's up for debate, I guess, but the latest edition of the Dark Souls series. The universe was sort of written by George R.R. Martin, or at least some ideas were seeded. So, you know, the mind behind Game of Thrones. I'm sure that made a lot of people mad that he took time away from Game of Thrones, which is still unfinished as far as I know, to go do this. But that came out actually right before TotalCon. So Johnny had a day off where he just, you know, he and Nick played for like most of the day on Friday, which I was envious of, but didn't get to do that. So we've been playing through Elden Ring. They're way ahead of me on that because I can only find time here and there. I've been busy with work and my family, but that's been fun to explore. It's a beautiful game. It's really cool.
Well, you know, you guys have been tickling my video game itch lately. So if I had a pick between Elden Ring and Destiny 2, what would you say?
Well, that totally depends. I love the question. It totally depends on your personal preferences. And it's a weird thing. I have no idea how to figure out who would like and who should never touch a Soulsborne game. They are extraordinarily difficult. It's hard. It's punishing. These games are hard to learn, but they are generally fair and nothing that people can't overcome with a little bit of stoicism, I think. They kind of require stoicism. The general premise is that it's a third-person action RPG kind of thing where, you know, you're walking, you can see the guy in front of you, your character, and you generally, in all these games, you wake up somewhere and, oh, you're destined to be great, go fight stuff. And unlike most of these games, like Skyrim and stuff like that, where you go around and fight monsters, in this game, being stabbed is like real life being stabbed. Like, you basically are going to die after you just get stabbed like once or twice. So you're really squishy and you tend to die a lot. And when you die, as you kill monsters, you're collecting a currency of whatever the game's type is. And in Souls games, there are souls, and it acts as both your experience points and your money. And if you die, you drop it on the ground and you have none. And then when you wake up, you have to go back through the very difficult level, killing all the difficult monsters to go get it. And if you don't get it and you die again, it's gone forever. And that can be very frustrating for people because you're like, I had 10,000 souls and I dropped it and I fell off a ledge and I died. And if you're like a person who would throw a controller, you probably don't want to touch these games. But because of how difficult they are and, like, you know, the bosses require, basically, you go in, you die to the boss the first time as you try and learn the moves that they have and work out the sequence and learn when you can go in and get a hit and run back out and roll to dodge their attacks and learn their choreography. Then you get better at playing the game because of how difficult it is. It's very rewarding for when you actually succeed. Unlike any game that I had played, and I went in very skeptically to these games, kind of going like, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of time, obviously, as a parent and a person with all these other hobbies. I'm not sure if I'm going to really stick with these, but they really resonated with me. And I've played through Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2, Bloodborne, and this. I'm starting Elden Ring. I have Dark Souls 3, but I didn't have the time to play through it before this came out. Anyway, if they sound interesting, this one, Elden Ring, is probably the best one to try if you are okay with an open world game. Like, I don't know if you've played a lot of games that are open world exploring kind of things, but this one, it's nice where if you are stuck at a boss and it's too hard, you can just leave and go wander around the world to find new stuff and level up and get better. Whereas in the other games, you sort of just got to keep going down the path that you're going down. And if the boss is too hard, then you kind of have to maybe you go grind a few levels, but you just got to get better at the game in those games. This one seems to be allowing a little bit more for, like, you know, wandering around. And you can pull in, you know, you can play co-op. You can, like, get another player to come help you too and stuff. So that can be fun if it's,
yeah, yeah,
if it's too hard. But as far as having a book club experience with a video game, the video games channel that we have right now is a wonderful way to experience this as you know, and it's a million spoiler tags, but like Nick and Johnny are constantly talking about this game in there, and playing along with other people playing it for the first time is really fun. So.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through the channel now.
I may be like 6 hours into the game or 7 hours after like a couple weeks. Those guys are a lot further. Either I think Johnny's like 20 and Nick's like 40. So they're miles ahead. But there's a bunch of people playing it all for the first time now at different levels and capacities. So Destiny, I fell off of Destiny. I'm kind of all done with it. I realized that I played an extraordinary amount of hours of that with our friends, and it sort of started to feel the same. And they just released a new thing for the Witch Queen, and our friend Adam is all about that, and Johnny and Adam and Nick are all playing that together. But I have said no thank you. I don't have the time for this.
No, interesting, because I played a lot of hours of Destiny going back a few years, and kind of fell off it just because I, you know, wandered onto something else. But what you're describing about Elden Ring, it's kind of the same sort of world as Destiny, right? I mean, it's open and you're leveling up and you're grinding from time to time. And I think I like the world of Destiny. It sounds more up my alley than the world of Elden Ring.
Yeah, it's very medieval. There's like dragons and you have swords and spells, but it's a cool take on it.
Okay.
You know, the magic of the world, like you come out of the catacombs basically or tomb that you were down in underground, and you've come back to life, and that's sort of the main theme with all these games is either you're an undead coming back to life, or in this game you're a tarnished. This is what they call you. And it's lots of like you have to sort of work for the story, but when you get it, it's cryptic and neat, and it's an interesting take on it. There's like pools of what's called like divinity, where it's like shards of the whole thing is that there used to be an Elden Ring, some big powerful magical thing, and it shattered into a million pieces. And people who found the pieces got super powerful and like mutated. And there's a lot of stuff going on, but the setting is quite unique, I think, for a medieval setting. It's pretty neat. It's like mysterious and it's got that going for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, it feels way more dangerous to play this game than it does to play Destiny. Destiny, dying costs nothing. Dying is expected and constant. In this game, it's expected and constant too, but you're constantly afraid of it, which is the difference. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my take. That Elden Ring guitar. I've been playing more guitar lately still too. Going strong on that. My daughter's sixth birthday just happened, and that took up a lot of effort, and I'm so exhausted. but I think that's just about it. I'm happy to wrap it up there.
Sure.
I think that was a great discussion. Thanks for coming on and talking with me, Len.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this was fun.
So you've been listening to Train Shuffling. I've been your host, Eric Heiden, joined by Len Kay, normally with Johnny Hollander. If you want to get in touch with us about anything we've said in this episode, we can be reached by email at trainshuffling@gmail.com, on Twitter at trainshuffling, on our BGG Guild number 3710, on our hotline 410-357-1898, which we would love to get voicemails that we could play on the show from you. And if you want to support the show financially, you can visit patreon.com/trainshuffling. And don't forget to run your trains and pay your divs.
Usually half pay.
Half pay. Yeah, if you're playing 1817, half pay your divs.
Half pay.
You don't want to get shorted. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.